Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schkup. Today we'll examine Chapter 39, which is a seamless continuation of the previous one, and according to the Masorah, it actually begins in the middle of the last verse of Chapter 38, which is marked by a Parshia Stuma, and read, V'haya kasher nilkeda Yerushalayim. It happened when Jerusalem was taken. Then our chapter continues the narrative that was already described in detail in Sefer Melachim, but according to Malbim, is presented again briefly to emphasize that Yirmiyahu's prophecies were fulfilled. In the opening verses we read, Bishana tshiit letzidkiyahu melech Yehuda b'chodesh ha'asiri, בא נבוכת רצר, מלך בבל וכל חילו אל ירושלים ויצורו עליה. ב-12 שנה לצדקיהו, בחודש הרביעי, בתשעה לחודש, הופקעה העיר. In the ninth year of Tzidkiyahu, king of Yehuda, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army, and laid siege to it. And on the ninth day of the fourth month of Tzidkiyahu's 11th year, the city wall was split. Accordingly, the siege lasted 18 months, with a brief reprieve when the Chaldean troops departed to fight the Egyptians. These verses may imply that the walls were broken through on the ninth of Tammuz, ostensibly contradicting Masechet Sanhedrin, which indicates that the walls were breached on the 17th of Tammuz. Some commentaries argue that Chazal referred to the events of the Second Commonwealth, when the Romans battered down the walls of Yerushalayim. Abarbanel suggests that a careful reading would note that on the 9th, the city was split, and the walls were shattered later, after the starving Jews, in desperation, opened the outer gates to the Chaldeans. Moreover, Abarbanel points out that Yerushalayim was fortified with three walls. Take note of the language, Hofka'a Ha'ir, the city was split, such that in some sectors the Jewish soldiers continued their fight, while in others the citizens capitulated. Then we read, ויבואו כל שרי מלך בבל, וישבו בשער התווך. Then all the officers of the king of Babylon came and took seats in the middle entrance. This verse indicates that the Chaldean generals entered the middle section, most likely in the northern region, apparently to confer about the ensuing tactics in taking the rest of the city. And Rashi notes that in so doing, they fulfilled Yirmiyahu's prophecy made in the very first chapter of this sefer. Ki hineni kore lechol mishpachot mamlechot tzafon ha'ne'um Hashem, uvahu v'natnu ish kiso petach she'arei Yerushalayim, v'al kol chomoteha saviv, v'al kol arei Yehuda. For behold, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says Hashem, and they will come, and they shall set everyone his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls of it round about, and against all the cities of Yehuda. Tzidkiyahu, or his scouts, saw the approaching enemy, and they tried to make their escape, as described in verse 4. Vayi kasher ha'am Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda, v'chol anshei ha'milchama, vayivrechu. ויצאו לילה מן העיר דרך גן המלך בשער בין החומותיים, ויצא דרך הערבה. When Tzidkiyahu, king of Yehuda, and all the soldiers saw them, they fled. They left the city at night through the king's garden, through the gate between the double walls, and headed towards the Arava. Radak cites a medrash that Tzidkiyahu had a secret tunnel from his palace to Yericho, through which he escaped with his household. Hashem arranged for a deer to run in front of Chaldean soldiers, who tried to hunt it, and as they pursued the deer, it ran towards the opening of the tunnel,
where the king was in hiding. וירדפו חיל כשדים אחריהם, ויסיגו את צדקיהו בערבות יריחו. ויקחו אותו ויעלוהו אל נבוכדרצר מלך בבל ריבלטה, בארץ חמת, וידבר איתו משפטים.
But the Chaldean forces chased after them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho.
They took him and brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, who was in Rivla, in the land of Hamat, and pronounced judgment on him.
Shaddal explains that Nebuchadnezzar had previously led his forces into battle for Eretz Yisrael, but did not stay throughout the siege. He managed his military campaigns from his headquarters in Hamat, the land in northern Lebanon.
Radak explained that the Babylonian king formally admonished Zedekiah for breaking his sworn allegiance, the oath he had made in the name of Hashem, and for his treason, he sentenced Zedekiah's family and advisors, as related in verses 6 through 8.
וישחט מלך בבל את בני צדקיהו ברבלה לעיניו, ואת כל חורי יהודה שחט מלך בבל, ואת עיני צדקיהו עיוור, ויעשרוהו בנחושתיים להביא אותו בבלה. ואת בית המלך ואת בית העם שרפו הכסדים באש, ואת חומות ירושלים ניטצו.
There at Rivla, the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and also slaughtered all the nobles of Yehuda. Then he blinded Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze shackles to take him to Babylon. The Chaldeans set fire to the royal palace and the people's house and broke down the walls of Jerusalem.
Rashi says that Chorei Yehuda included the men of the Sanhedrin who had annulled Zedekiah's oath of loyalty to Babylonia. While some say that the Beit Ha'am is a reference to a synagogue or a communal institution like the Sanhedrin, Abarbanel suggests that it is a reference to the temple, which was no longer called Beit Hashem, the house of God, for the Shekhinah had departed before it was burned. Thereafter, the city was emptied of its dwellers, as the Chaldeans exiled all the Judeans, leaving only the peasantry in the countryside.
Ve'et yeter ha'am ha'nisharim ba'ir, ve'et ha'noflim asher naflu alav, ve'et yeter ha'am ha'nisharim, hegla nevuzradan rav tabachim bavel. U'min ha'am ha'dalim asher ein lahem me'uma, השיר נבוזרדן רב טבחים בארץ יהודה, וייתן להם קרמים ויגבים ביום ההוא.
נבוזרדן, the commander of the Babylonian forces, carried away captive into Babylon the survivors who remained in the city, those who had surrendered to him, and the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzradan, the commander, left the poorest people who had nothing in the land of Yehuda, and gave them vineyards and fields that day. Rav Tabachim is literally chief cook, and is usually translated as captain of the armies. But according to Mitzudot, he was the king's chief executioner. Ironically, the cruel Nebuzradan, who slaughtered so many people, redressed the abuse and exploitation of the poorest people who had been reduced to serfdom by their own countrymen, and gave them the lands of their masters.
Abarbanel notes that the continuing battles in Yerushalayim and the destruction of Beit HaMikdash are omitted from this narrative, as these are recorded elsewhere in Melachim and later in this Sefer. As for those who had obeyed Yirmiyahu and surrendered beforehand, the king had ordered that they not be harmed.
Shaddal suggests that those Jews had informed the Babylonians that Yirmiyahu had foretold their victory and advised the Jews to cede to the Chaldean army. Among them was Gedaliah ben Achikam, who was appointed shortly thereafter as administrator of the Jewish remnant that were allowed to stay in their homeland.
Abarbanel, however, notes that verses 11 through 12 indicate that it was Nebuchadnezzar who had already commanded that Yirmiyahu be protected and given full freedom. Vayitzav Nebuchadrezzar melech bavel al Yirmiyahu beyad Nebuzradan rav tabachim lemor. Kachenu ve'enecha sim alav ve'al tas lo me'uma ra ki im kasher yedaber elecha ken aseimo. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had given these orders about Yirmiyahu through Nebuzradan, commander of the imperial guard. Take him and keep your eye on him. Don't harm him, but do for him whatever he asks. Therefore, Abarbanel suggests that Nebuchadnezzar had long since heard about Yirmiyahu's correspondence with the Jews exiled in Babylonia 11 years earlier, and had known about his efforts to abort the insurrection against his empire. He had heard about Yirmiyahu's prophecies and commanded that the prophet be released from detention and treated with reverence. וישלחו ויקחו את ירמיהו מחצר המטרה, ויתנו אותו אל גדליה בן אחיקם, בן שפן, להוציאו אל הבית וישב בתוך העם. They sent and took Yirmiyahu out of the courtyard of the guard and committed him to Gedaliah the son of Achikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. But he lived among the people. Yirmiyahu displayed no schadenfreude at witnessing his prophecies come true. On the contrary, he was heartbroken to see his beloved Yerushalayim in ruins and his people decimated. He would not allow himself any privileges offered by Nebuchadnezzar and chose to reside among the common survivors. The chapter ends with the last prophetic message that Yirmiyahu received prior to being freed. הלוך ואמרת לעבד מלך הקושי לאמור, כה אמר השם צבקות אלוקי ישראל, הנני מביא את דבריי אל העיר הזאת לרעה ולא לטובה, והיו לפניך ביום ההוא, והצלתיך ביום ההוא, נאום השם, ולא תנתן ביד האנשים אשר אתה יגור מפניהם, כי מלאת מלתך, ובחרב לא תיפול, והייתה לך נפשך לשלל, כי בטחת בי, נאום השם. Go and tell Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, this is what Hashem of hosts, the God of Israel, says. I am about to fulfill my words against this city, of disaster and not of prosperity. They will be fulfilled before your eyes on that very day. But I will rescue you on that day, declares Hashem. You will not be given into the hands of those you fear. I will surely rescue you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life, because you've trusted in me, declares Hashem. The message to Ebed-Melech applied also to Yirmiyahu and his protege, Baruch Ben-Neriah. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.